You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, December 3rd. And Mason, hit him with the double today.
Detroit basketball! Detroit basketball!
That's right, two Detroit basketballs for two victories over the weekend. We call in Mason every time the Pistons got the win, and they did double that over the weekend. So this is your boy Matt Shook, the sports writer and host of the Locked On Pistons podcast. I write about the NBA for the AP and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life like all you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for the listen. I appreciate you guys listening to the only daily Detroit Pistons podcast out there, so we really appreciate all the support. Spread the word, as well as the Pistons look like they're on the verge of possibly having a fun season ahead of us. Get us through the winter here in the Midwest, and we are looking forward to it, and we'll be with you every weekday here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, save for some Fridays every now and then, and some holidays as well. I hope you understand how we roll here, but today we're going to recap Saturday's win, Friday's win, all the wins, including a win at home against the two-time defending champions, the MVPs all over the court, just a tremendous night in downtown Detroit for the Pistons there. We're also going to talk to the guy who I have been going to nominate so far as the most valuable fan for the Pistons this season, one-fourth the way through the 2018-2019 season. Maybe every quarter we'll come up with another nominee, turn this into a contest or something like that. But we're also today going to wrap up the show by looking ahead to tonight's game. Yes, that's right, Pistons at home tonight again against the Oklahoma City Thunder, the last of the six-game homestand, and what a homestand it has been. Been a pleasure following it with you guys, and thanks for following me, by the way, on social media, on Twitter, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, inching towards 3,000 followers on the Matt Shook Twitter account, and we're over 1,000 on the Locked On Pistons account. Appreciate you guys for that, and we need to get up the Facebook likes to over 1,000, too, so get on Facebook, give us the like at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. We appreciate all the love, all the retweets, the impressions, all that good stuff that we get from you guys too. But the Pistons, speaking of things we're appreciating these days, a couple of wins, and let's start with the fun one. Detroit tops the Golden State Warriors. How does that sound? 111-102 for the second time in a row. The Pistons beat the Warriors. The Pistons are now 13-7 on the season. The bad news is, of course, we remember that last year this team was 14-6 through 20 games. So I actually a game better than they are at this point right now, but then went on that seven-game losing streak to go end up at 14-13 after that stretch. And guess what? Next 10, very tough games for the Pistons, very tough slate coming up here in December. Dark times could be on the horizon again. I don't want to scare you and get you out of that buzzkill, but just a warning there. Tough times could be ahead, but certainly this Pistons group looks like one that can take on some of those tough times and possibly squeeze a few, maybe several wins out of this group of 10 games that are coming up here in the first part of December. Let's stick to the good stuff for now, though. A five-game winning streak for the Detroit Pistons, all on the current six-game homestand. I believe it's 9 of 11 right now for the team as well, which wraps up that homestand tonight with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Blake Griffin on Saturday night, 26 points against all those superstars. He stood out as an equal to those guys. On Saturday night, Andre Drummond with 16 points and 19 rebounds, 8 offensive boards. Nothing fraudulent about the offensive boards. Continuing his all-star season, and I say that emphatically without a doubt that Andre Drummond so far, one-fourth the way through the season, is an Eastern Conference all-star. Stanley Johnson, 13 points off the bench. His stellar play out of the starting lineup continued for Dwayne Casey's team. A big three-pointer to close the third quarter for the Pistons at the buzzer. Just another outstanding game from Stanley. 17 points for Reggie Jackson, 10 points for Reggie Bullock, 11 points for Ish Smith off the bench, just spreading it around with six guys getting into double figures. All you can hope for as a coach. Steph Curry came back. He made his first game from the injury comeback for the Warriors. He was pretty good, especially in the second half, a big second half for him, 27 points in the game. Kevin Durant with 28, Klay Thompson with 21. Those guys are still very good. Draymond Green missed. He was the other member of that Big Four group, and he missed the game with the toe injury. So the Saginaw, Michigan State fans, that wanted to check out Draymond in his one appearance yearly in Detroit until the NBA Finals, of course, that he was not able to play on Saturday night. Just an electric atmosphere in downtown Detroit. I was downtown for the game, driving around Woodward, seeing the traffic. It's nice to see traffic in downtown Detroit. I know the holiday celebrations, the Noel nights were going on downtown. A lot of people up and down Woodward, a lot of people in the bars at night as well. Just a fun night, and it's good to see those kind of things happening in downtown Detroit, as they have been going on for a while now. But exciting and nice for the Pistons to be a big part of that. The Red Wings, too, by the way. We make fun of the Red Wings a little bit on this this show, but the way that they're playing lately, not Sunday night's loss to Colorado notwithstanding, but how about for those guys, by the way? A little Caesars Arena twofer going on right now, unexpectedly, and certainly in one case, and even so in the Pistons' case with the strong play that they're having lately. Great to see, and we'll have plenty more to talk about this week about these games, about the Pistons going forward, and we'll see. Where do they go? Where do they go in the power rankings after knocking off the two-time defending champions? I don't know. It'd be interesting to see those kind of things. But again, we remember that last year we were sitting here. I was sitting in Chicago, but we were sitting right here having some of these same discussions 20 games through. Is this team for real? I mean, we're certainly a playoff team. We're 14-6, right? No doubt about that. How high in the playoff pecking order can we get? Let's not make that same mistake this year. Let's enjoy it as a fan base, but let's not get ahead of ourselves, especially with this 10-game stretch coming up of brutal schedule, just night after night of really tough teams, the home, the road games, just a tough one. Wednesday at Milwaukee, Friday at home for Philadelphia after tonight's game against Oklahoma City. I mean, these are all playoff teams. A big week ahead for the Pistons, but again, that six-game over 500 cushion right now, the highest watermark of the season, the highest they have been over 500 all season. And that is due, of course, to big victories like the Golden State one, the Toronto one, the Philadelphia one. We remember the Houston one. You know, a few games definitely stand out. But what stands out to me so far about this game is this team is last week, not the Houston win, not the Golden State win, but the business-like wins over the Phoenix Suns and the New York Knicks and the Chicago Bulls, just taking care of the bad teams, which is something that the Stan Van Gundy era Pistons really had problems with. And we remember those home losses where they laid eggs. We remember going to Atlanta, losing a game on a Sunday with Blake Griffin, a Nets loss with Spencer Dinwiddie. We remember all those games from last season, and it's not been duplicated. The only bad loss has been the road loss to New Jersey, but that was Brooklyn, the second of a back-to-back. A couple of home losses that are tough to swallow, especially the way they went down with Miami and Charlotte, but not a lot to be upset about, not a lot to be picky about as well. And we'll pass along the details from Friday. Pistons also got the win. A little bit less dramatic and enthusiastic there, even for the crowd, myself in attendance for the Detroit News as well. I was not there on Saturday night, by the way. But let me know if you're ever heading down to games. There's a good chance I'm going to be there and just come say hi. Really appreciate meeting all you guys like we have over these last few months. But 107-88 was the win on Friday night against the Bulls. 19-19 for Andre Drummond, 20 points for Reggie Jackson, 20 for Blake Griffin as well. A business-like win, although we'd be remiss not to mention how impressed I was with Wendell Carter Jr., the rookie for the Bulls. He was fantastic. 28 points for him, a career high. So we'll see what happens now. An exciting week ahead for the Pistons, Oklahoma City, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia. Playoff teams, big stars, MVP candidates, former MVPs, future MVPs, and Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid, those types of guys who are, this year could be contending for MVP trophies. Man, a really good team right now as we speak for the Detroit Pistons and Dwayne Casey in his first year. And exciting to be part of it. I'm excited to be along for the ride with you guys and to be steering the ship here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But up next, we're going to talk to the guy who I'm nominating as the most valuable fan so far for the season for the Pistons. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite podcast. Our demo is 98% males. What's up, fellows? With more education and earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company go ahead and sponsor Locked On Pistons. Go ahead and email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
All right, and we're now 20 games into the Pistons season, and we can talk about the quarter way through the season MVP of the league or maybe the MVP on the Pistons so far, but I've got my nomination here for the most valuable fan of the Detroit Pistons, and that's Corey Nikoloff, who's joining us here on the line. What's going on, Corey?
Yes, sir. How are you doing, Matt?
Not too bad, man. Thanks for taking the time. Appreciate it. And so the story is that Corey has been to, and I'm trying to rack my brain and think about someone in the outside of a player or an employee of the team who's been to every game of the Pistons right now, because I know the media members who travel, each of them have missed at least one of the road trips for whatever reason. But Corey, you're 20 for 20 so far.
I am 20 for 20, yes. I don't know how I've pulled it off so far, but I'm pretty excited about it. It's been really fun.
Yeah, so you've been to every game, including the road trips so far this season. I mean, how did it all come about? Was it kind of by chance on the first couple, and then you wanted to kind of get it going, or was it just planned out over the summer, or how does this work?
Yeah, so there's probably a longer backstory to it. So my dad, so growing up, I'm from Lansing, and my dad, he happened to be in Philadelphia when Magic Johnson started in the NBA Finals at center and then wound up, you know, winning the championship, winning, you know, Finals MVP. And he was actually at the game just by chance. A friend of his got tickets to the game. And like my whole life growing up, that's like the coolest story I've ever heard, that my dad was at this thing. So, you know, I got to a point where, and I've always been a huge Pistons fan, and I got to a point where like I started thinking, oh, maybe I want to try to like go to some road games eventually. And I thought it would be cool to try to go to like an NBA Finals game on the road as well. And, you know, obviously, you know, the Pistons haven't been there since I was a senior in high school. So when the Cavs and the Warriors were in the finals, I went 3 years ago. So the year that the Cavs actually won, I went to one of the games. And then I went to another game the previous or the following year. And then finally last year I went to game four and saw, you know, the final game of the finals, which I thought was really cool. And it sort of had inspired me to start going to some road games. So last year I started off just by going to, I think I went to Milwaukee, I went to Indiana, and then they played in DC and Philly back to back last year. So I went to those two games, and part of what inspired me was I was way under on my miles on my lease, and I needed to burn up those miles somehow.
I had a feeling frequent flyer miles would have something to do with this story. I had that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to burn up those miles and wanted to go support the boys. So I, I decided to go. So I got season tickets for the first time. The last season they were at the Palace, and, you know, I didn't know it was going to be the last season. So it wound up, you know, being really cool being there for every game, the last season there. And then, you know, last year I redid them for the first season in Detroit, and then, you know, figured I'd keep it going this year. So, I knew I wanted to try to go to some road games. You know, I figured Chicago early on in the season would be an easy one. And then I knew they were doing the Boston, Brooklyn, Philly trip. And as soon as the schedule came out, I took the time off from work. I was like, all right, I know I'm going to do this trip. And I went to Chicago and did that trip. So, you know, I started off going to, you know, what's that, the first 8 games, 9 games in a row, including the home game against the Heat. And I was like, well, I don't think I'm going to be able to keep this going much longer. And then my aunt lives in Orlando. So I sent her a text message and I was like, you know, hey, I was thinking about, you know, maybe flying to Orlando to see a Pistons game. I know that sounds crazy, but what do you think about me staying with you? And she said, go for it if I wanted to do it. And, you know, I looked up flights on Spirit. Spirit's very cheap. And,
of course.
I was able to get a flight for $54 from Detroit to Orlando.
I love
it. So did that. Yeah, made it happen. I was able to work remotely, so I didn't even have to take any time off. And then I started looking. They were in Atlanta the next night, and a flight from Orlando to Atlanta was $40. So I'm like, all right, well, I might as well keep it going. Or, you know, Atlanta's on the way back from Orlando, I guess. So I'll do that. And then, you know, flying from Atlanta back to Detroit was $25. So the whole trip was super cheap. I got to stay with my aunt in Orlando. I stayed in a cheap Airbnb in Atlanta. And, you know, that's sort of how it, you know, how the longer road trip sort of started, was just with my aunt letting me stay with her. And I was like, oh, well, I might as well do it then. It's like the universe is telling me I have to.
Well, I love this story, and as someone, and I think we have some listeners that are probably thinking right about now with the team at the record that they have through 20 games, that they're going to have to make sure that you get to all 82 somehow. But I know we talked off air before we started that it's probably not going to work out that way, unfortunately, right?
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult. I've been looking at the schedule, and I think I'm going to be able to make like maybe 70 of the games if everything goes well. But I'm driving to Milwaukee this game, and there's a possibility I'll be able to go to Philly on the 10th, but I don't think I'm going to be able to go to Charlotte on the 12th unless the team lets me, you know, hop on their plane flights. We're just way too expensive to make that happen, at least from what I can see so far.
Well, I know we got some people connected with the team that listen to this podcast from time to time. So if you guys are listening, maybe Corey can jump on the plane with you guys to Charlotte, and we'll see. Who knows? But so you've got some good stories, and like I said, we'll have the listeners chime in over these next few episodes about their best road game stories. I have one that maybe I'll share. I was actually I went to a game at Cleveland, and so me and my friends. It's maybe not an appropriate story, but we were kicked out of the game. Back in my 20s, maybe I'll get into that on the air in a little bit. And also, we ended up on the page 1A of the Cleveland Plain Dealer the next day. So that was maybe not the best way to go about it. But do you have any good fan stories on the road from this year so far? I'm assuming you're wearing your Pistons gear. Hopefully everyone's been nice, and you've been nice to everyone else on the road too. But do you have any pretty good stories from the road so far this year?
Yes. Yeah. So I do always try to be very respectful when I'm on the road. I hate when opposing fans come into our arena and are super obnoxious. And so I always try to practice what I preach. So, I'll clap a little, if a good play happens, I'll cheer, pump my fist, but I'm not like talking trash or anybody's face or anything like that. Especially in places like Boston or Philly, where I think the fans might want to try to fight me. So I try to avoid physical confrontations. The best story, best road game that I've been to this year so far was in Toronto. So, third quarter, we're struggling. We're down 19 points. And the kid and his buddy who are sitting next to me sort of look over at me and then look back to each other and say, 19 points. This feels like a pretty safe lead. I feel pretty good about this game.
What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong at that point? So I just sort of, I look back over to him and I nod and I just, keep to myself. And then, as the game goes on, I hear them start to get more and more nervous, and they're like, what is happening? Oh my gosh, they're swearing and sort of going crazy. And then, I just keep to myself, keep quiet, and then. As soon as Reggie hits the game-winning shot and the buzzer goes off, I just scream. I just erupt, and I look over at them, and I start pumping my fists and go crazy. And that was really fun. That's about as obnoxious as I get, but it was really, really fun. It's just been cool getting to see all the different arenas and see how they've been updated and, see the different fan experiences and, in-between timeout things they have. It's all been really cool.
Yeah, and I think you're safe. Like you mentioned, Boston and Philly might be one story, but those Canadians are such nice people that I think you're probably safe even to talk a little bit trash north of the border. But what about those arenas? Now that you've seen the Palace and seen Little Caesars Arena up close many times, what do you think about how it stacks up to some of these other arenas now that you've seen them all up close?
Yeah, I mean, the Palace, even though it was older, was great, and I still thought it was pretty top-of-the-line place. And then, obviously, the Little Caesars is tops. It's so incredible. I love the feeling of just walking around in there. It's like a little city almost on the concourse. It's so cool. Some of the arenas are definitely a little older. So last year I was in Milwaukee for the final year in their old arena, and it was pretty run down, pretty old looking inside. I'm excited to go check out the new one this week. But even Atlanta, I actually went to Atlanta last year. I forgot to mention that one. They were in the middle of their big renovation. So last year, the whole arena was, there was tarps up everywhere. It was under construction and half the seats were blocked off. And this year, to go back, it looks like a completely brand new arena inside. There's a giant new scoreboard. There's the barbershop courtside.
Of course.
There's even like this big area where there's no seats up on the second level, and you can walk out and just sort of get a great view of the whole arena out front. It was really, really cool. So the Atlanta one and the remodel, I give it a big thumbs up. Houston was great too. The arena itself didn't look very cool from the outside, but once you get inside, massive scoreboard. They did some pretty unique things with the scoreboard. It's like an extra wide scoreboard. So on the sides of the video, they had like scores and facts about the teams and stuff. And it wasn't until I saw that I actually realized it was the first game we played of the season against a Western Conference team. They had that as a fact about Detroit. I was like, holy cow, that's crazy. It hadn't even occurred to me yet.
Yeah, I had a similar experience with that fact. Yeah, I didn't realize that until about the day before. So I guess that's true. We haven't played a Western Conference team yet.
Yeah, it blew my mind. But they have a lot of cool stuff for the fans too. They had a little like locker room set up on the second floor where they had jerseys of like all of their retired players and stuff in lockers that you go and look at and see like some of their memorabilia and read facts about the players and stuff. And they even had like a little basketball court for kids to play on, and they had like Papa Shot things that you could play. And They seem to really think about like the fan experience, especially on like the second level. I thought they did a really good job of finding things that would keep kids busy when they get a little bit bored with the game. And I thought it was really cool. I was pretty impressed.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to following along for a few more games on this streak, which is like the Joe DiMaggio of Pistons fan streaks. And I love it. Corey Nikoloff, follow him on Instagram. I'm not sure we didn't talk about this if you want me to give out your Instagram, but it's YROK1986. Again, that's YROK1986. Corey Nikoloff. Like I said, check him out. He's puts up pictures of all the arenas. He'll be in Milwaukee on Wednesday after tonight's game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And just an amazing streak, and congratulations for getting a quarter way through the season, Corey.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a blast. I didn't think it would go this long. I'm going to do everything I can to keep it going, and we'll see how the rest of the season goes. So thanks for having me, Matt.
And a big thanks to Corey again for joining us. I just listened back to that interview just like you guys did, and I cut him off there as he was talking about burning up miles on his lease, and I thought he was talking about miles in terms of frequent flyers. So like any good interviewer, I cut my subject off and started rambling about my own thoughts and story. So I apologize to Corey about that. But I just thought it was one of those situations where maybe he was needing to get to that next tier in the frequent flyer miles at the end of the year or something like that. But burning up the lease miles, of course, makes sense as well. And nice to get that little road trip too, a nice little Midwest road trip. But do you have stories from the road? Like I said, I've got one about Cleveland and another couple about Cleveland that maybe I'll get into at some point if I'm feeling a little bit inappropriate with you guys. But do you have some stories from the road? Did you get into it with some fans? Did you have a great time? Did you run into the players out somewhere? And again, try to keep it as appropriate as possible. But let us know. Give me a text or call on the Google voicemail line for the show. The Locked On Pistons line is 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666-1546. Go ahead and text us or call us and leave a voicemail. Let us know. I know I got a couple voicemails from the end of last week that I need to play in the bank for you guys, and we'll play those on tomorrow's show as well. So keep those voicemails and texts coming, and we'll pass it along. Love the listener interaction. I'm a newspaper guy, so I'm used to reader interaction, but listener interaction and getting you guys on the show as well. Tonight, though, OKC is in town for 7 o'clock game. The Thunder 14-7 for Coach Billy Donovan, so actually a half game better than Detroit. OKC lost the first four games of their season. All sorts of articles about what's wrong with this team, break them up, why did Paul George go back? But they are 14-3 since then, an exceptional run for OKC. 7 of 9 wins, 4 of 5. I don't know the most impressive math-wise, but I think that 14 of 17, 14-3 in their last 17 games is probably the most impressive. This will be a first of a three-game road trip for the Oklahoma City Thunder. They played Friday at home, so they're plenty fresh and rested for this game in Detroit tonight. After this, the Thunder will be at Brooklyn and at Chicago. So, a pretty easy trip, all things considered, or very easy trip, all things considered. So no real sense of urgency for the Thunder. Really, the Pistons, surprising given the fact they're on a five-game winning streak, but the Pistons might have more urgency given that if they're peeking at the upcoming schedule and knowing what might be ahead in terms of pitfalls for the December slate. But of course, we know about Russell Westbrook and Paul George with the Thunder. Paul George actually barely edging out Russell Westbrook for the team lead in scoring right now by a bit. They're both at 23, but Well, George has got him edged by a little bit of decimal points here. Russell Westbrook currently not quite averaging a triple-double right now this season. He's got 10.1 rebounds and just under 10 with 9.8 assists per game. The revelation lately has been Alex Abrines. In his third season, he had 21 points on Friday night against Atlanta, getting the start these last couple games for the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Spaniard. Teaming up on the wing with young guys like Hamidou Diallo and Terrence Ferguson. The young guys, but raw on the wing. Not much on shooting for those guys, but great athletes, and hopefully for their sake, improving defenders with their athletic ability in the NBA level. A couple of exciting young players for the Thunder there. And Steven Adams inside will be contending with Andre Drummond. As great a season as Drummond is having, especially lately, really all season basically, we know that some of these tough guys inside, and Joel Embiid is one of those guys, and Steven Adams is one of those guys. There's a lot of good big men in the NBA, but not the tough guys, the old school throwbacks, the Mahorns and Lambeer types that we know about here in the city of Detroit. Well, Steven Adams is one of those guys. So interesting to see how Andre Drummond reacts to a guy who wants to be physical with him, wants to get in his head a little bit and try to play some games. As Steven Adams is one of those guys, one of my favorite guys in the NBA. I like watching him play. And it should be fun to see how Andre does up against him. And we know Andre's always aware of those challenges against some of the top players in the NBA, the top big men. But sometimes, especially obviously the glaring example being his struggles against Joel Embiid, sometimes that gets in his head a little bit. So we'll see how that progresses tonight. Dennis Schroeder off the bench has been great for them, actually. Had a nice night in his return to Atlanta on Friday, or his turn against Atlanta on Friday night. Andre Roberson, sadly, has not played since falling and breaking his knee last year at Little Caesars Arena, and that scary incident mid-season against the Pistons. Rough story there so far for him, as the injury just got worse. He had was rehabbing it and re-injured himself recently. So tough one for him, one of the great defensive players in the NBA who, if he could get it together, stay healthy and play the defense that he does and get it together a little bit offensively, that this Thunder team could take another step. But it seems like they're going to be waiting a little bit longer for that, at least another 6 weeks for him. Pistons are 1 or 1.5 point dogs, depending on who you prefer to check for these types of things. Should be a fun one downtown once again on Monday night. I will not be there. I'll be in Allen Park with the other one of our pro sports teams here in town. The atmosphere and vibe a little bit different around the Detroit Lions, in case you're wondering. But be sure to check out Locked On Lions with Matt Derry. You know him. Another great show on the network. And Isaiah Hole and Will Hunter, Locked On Spartans and Locked On Wolverines. Those guys had their bowl announcements for their football teams on Sunday. So they'll have plenty to talk about this week, in addition to a couple of great basketball teams and programs that are off to exciting starts. How about those Wolverines on Saturday against Purdue? Just another wiping of the floor with another top 25 team. Great start for John Beilein and the boys. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check on the Facebook page, Locked On Pistons -Matt Shook. Spread the word. Thanks again to Corey for joining us. Keep us posted, Corey, on the streak and how things are going throughout the season. Looking forward to seeing you at Little Caesars Arena this year as well. And follow him on Instagram and send some love to him as well from the Locked On Pistons podcast family. But thanks for listening, everyone. This is your boy, Matt Shook, saying enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow with another episode.